Our episodes contain graphic information and at times strong language that may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Would you like some murder with your coffee?
Welcome to Morning Murders. I'm Nicole.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Brenna. We're just three gals that like to sit around, drink coffee.
And what else?
Talk about some real messed up things.
Mm-hmm.
Like
true crime.
Mm-hmm. One of those guys.
One of those things.
True crimers.
We are.
You know what they call those kind of people?
True crimers?
Beans. And we love them.
Hi, Beans.
Hi, Beans.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for being Beans.
I took your line. I mean, kind of, but I was going to say thanks for being Beans.
Yours is better.
Thank you for being a Bean.
I'd like to give a shout out. That was a weird.
Give it out.
Give it out. Give a shout out to the Nightmare Cafe here in Las Vegas. They are downtown, and we went and had brunch there a little while ago, and we left one of our little stickers, and they shared it on their story.
Yay.
And it was so nice.
We love them.
We love them. They have a vegan breakfast. I was very pleased because I am, in fact, a vegan. Spoiler. I'm a vegan.
I don't know if you knew this, guys.
We do a whole episode on it.
Well, it's actually... So today,
segue,
ladies and beans. Okay, so before I start this, I need to explain how I even learned about this story and how it then inspired the earlier dive into other folks. So anyways, ladies, I've told you this already, but we need to catch the beans up. So January 1st, I was flying back into Vegas and I started reading this book. The entire plane ride, I read Tender is the Flesh.
Is this going to have spoilies? Because I still can't get it yet.
I'm sorry.
Come on!
It won't be crazy spoilies, but you're going to know what's going on. So literally, the whole four-hour flight, with the exception of a few moments where I like stretched or zoned out, I read this book. I had 10 pages left when I landed the plane, because I was the pilot.
Yes, because she was the pilot while she was reading the whole time.
Yeah. Nicole can do a lot of things.
You guys, coffee makes her magical.
You should see her acting resume. She's got a lot of skills.
If I wrote a book, it'd be, what don't I do? anyways. So I had 10 pages left when the plane landed. We landed at like 12:10 in the morning, so I passed out when I got home. But as soon as I awoke, which was like 6:40 in the morning because I have animals and medications they have to take and all the kinds of things, I made coffee and I finished the book, which is insane. And if you haven't read it, you will like reading it if you like horror, and I highly, highly recommend it. Amanda's going to listen to the audiobook, and I can't wait to hear how she thinks about the audiobook. This won't give too much away, but it's gonna, you'll know what's going on, kind of. Kind of. It doesn't give much away. Also, I was sitting in a window seat when I was on the plane, and when I looked across to the other window seat in the same aisle, this girl was also reading Tender as the Flesh, and it just made my day. It was wild.
And that's why I gotta wait 8 weeks just to listen to the audiobook from the freaking library. Guys, sorry, I'm gonna go on a rant here.
Here we go.
I don't understand why.
I must have my coffee.
I don't understand why, Carly, you're a librarian. You were once explained to me why I can't get a digital copy of something that someone else is borrowing. Oh, you have 5 digital copies? Digital. Let me say that again. It's a digital copy. I don't understand. Like, we can't all listen to it. If we can all listen to Spotify at the same time, then I can't listen to Tender as the Flesh at the same time as everybody else, and I don't know why I have to wait. I hate it.
Are you mad? Are you upset about
it? I only got this podcast so I could complain about Tender as the Flesh. Okay?
It's been a slow burn.
Finally.
Long last.
Thanks for letting me get it out.
You're welcome. Okay, so I told this story at breakfast with my partner and his family, and his brother, our awesome bean, Jonathan.
Give it over Jonathan, everybody.
Yes. He has given us some terrifying stories in the past, and this one isn't any different. So he suggested this one after I mention the special meat in Tender is the Flesh. Now, this case is not super lengthy, but it definitely is wild, which for some reason is like my new thing. I just keep saying wild. I don't know why. So, ladies and beans, top off your coffees and grab your mugs tight. Have you ever heard of Joseph Roy Menthy?
Metheny?
Yeah!
Okay. kids do this, it's gonna get gross.
So Joseph, or Joe, or Tiny, as he has also been nicknamed, was born on March 2nd, 1955, in Baltimore, Maryland. Now, the only time he was probably actually tiny was when he was a baby. But I actually imagine he was probably a big baby, so never mind. For he was 6'1", weighing 450 pounds.
As a baby?
As a baby! Can you imagine?
Oh my God. When he was born?
When he was born!
Jesus Christ!
And then he stayed that way forever.
Wow.
That's, I feel real bad for his mom now.
Oh my
Jiminy.
God.
So, he was a lumber worker and a former truck driver with a bit of an anger issue. So when Jonathan started telling me about Joe, I looked him up so I could bookmark the case. And this photo pops up and my jaw literally, literally dropped. Ladies and beans, have you ever played Left 4 Dead?
Yeah, of course.
Great. So this dude looks exactly like, and I feel like should have been the inspiration for Boomer.
Oh, the big dude, the boomer?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, those guys are very large.
They are very large.
They're very gross, and they explode, yes. And they barf on you.
And there will be a picture on the Instagram if you haven't already seen it.
Oh, I know
it.
When you said they barf on you. Now
yeah.
I know what you mean.
They certainly do. Boomer! And then they, explode. Okay, but I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I do have other things to talk about aside from his super terrifying screaming photo that I first saw. So Joe grew up neglected. He was one of six kids. His mother worked double shifts, and his father, who was an alcoholic, was killed in a car accident when Joe was six. Joe even talked about how sometimes it felt like he was in a foster care type system because his parents would have him stay with different families. He even later claimed that his mother was dead. But his mom was like, no, I'm alive. She's not dead.
Hi.
I am here.
Weird.
So she, who was alive, like I said, said that they were somewhat poor and she worked several jobs, bars, restaurants, food trucks. She never wanted her kids to need food, and she said that she never had them stay with other families. She would also say that Joe, quote, was smart and had a good childhood. If he was neglected, it was his own fault. It was pretty good home. First of all, yikes for a few reasons. I mean, it seems like there are a lot of different levels of things going on there, and a child's feelings are absolutely valid. Saying that him feeling neglected was his own fault is not okay.
Yeah. Weird thing to say.
In my opinion, right? A little weird. Being a parent is hard. I am not a human parent, but I have nannied and I've talked with families about experiences of raising kids. I can imagine, especially in situations that are less than ideal, present a whole mess of other issues, and all you can do is the best you can do. But six kids and overworking, that's truly very hard on everyone involved. So, anyways, he joined the Army in 1973, and what he did was unclear. His mother said he served in Germany, but Joe claimed that he served a tour in Vietnam and became an addict to heroin while he was in a unit over there. His mother said that she didn't remember him ever serving in Vietnam. Americans were out of Vietnam by the time that he would have been there. They left March 29th, 1973, and he claimed he did a tour in 1973. So, I mean, I guess if he was there for just a moment, but his mother didn't think that it lined up correctly. I don't know. Wasn't there. So regardless, after he left the Army, he really barely spoke to his mother. She said, quote, he just kept drifting further and further away. I think the worst thing that ever happened to him was drugs. It's a sad, sad story. Once he came back from the Army, he started doing work in lumber yards and as a truck driver. As a truck driver, he would be gone for really long periods of time. My mom's dad was actually a truck driver, and she has a very positive experience because, like, he'd be gone for long times, but he'd come back and they'd do, like, family trips, and she made it sound really cool. This was not like that at all. Now, Joe had an old lady, as he put it, and they had a six-year-old son together. And one day in July 1994, he came back from one of his long truck driving jobs, and they were gone. He came home to an empty house. She took everything, including the son. She was also a drug addict, and Joe later learns that she took off with some other guy. Remember how I slightly mentioned that he has some anger issues? Well, this is where that starts to come into play. He completely loses it. He flies into this rage and wants to find his old lady and his son. He finds out about 6 months later that the two of them had been arrested for drugs, and his son got taken into foster care because of child abuse and neglect. He now takes it upon himself to find his old lady and the man she ran off with. He learns that they moved to the other side of town and that she has gone into sex work for drugs, learning that they get high under this bridge with some homeless men. So, he goes there. Ladies and beans, Take a sip of that warm, comforting coffee, because here come the murders.
I want to give a shout out to Magnum Coffee.
Magnum Coffee.
They're a coffeery in here. A coffeetery.
Coffeetery.
A coffeetery in Vegas. And I think it's at least where they roast their beans. But they're a company in town, and they're really cool, and they're really nice, and they have delicious coffee. They're kind of over by the airport if you're a Vegas person.
Like Sunset and...
not quite Eastern.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's really cool. They do coffee stuff there. They also donated a gourmet coffee basket for the Playhouse. So thank you, Magnum Coffee. Also, you have delicious coffee.
Thank you.
For being
delicious
coffee.
Love that.
Development Hell is back, guys.
Development Hell is the podcast that Richard Humphreys and Kyle Anderson has with another gentleman that's, I'm sure, very lovely as well. I'm very sorry that I don't know your name, but I love that podcast. They do, like, a stupid, awesome deep dive about, like, a movie that took forever to get made. They just did the Speed Racer, like, and it's so good. And they just, like, they're funny. Their anchor ad is my favorite one. And because they tell the truth about how we make millions of dollars off of Anchor. Mm-hmm. they're not afraid to tell the truth. And they're just funny boys, and I love it. And I'm somebody that likes to learn a ton of shit about stupid things. They did a whole thing about Godzilla, and it's so great. And King Kong, like, it's so great. So I highly recommend it if you want to learn about movies and projects and video games and stuff like that that just took forever.
Yeah.
Fun.
Nice.
Awesome.
That's really awesome.
How much did they pay you for that ad?
Not enough.
No, just kidding. They paid me nothing. They paid me in friendship because I love them.
Ah,
friendship.
Gross. I love it.
Friendship.
Joe goes to this bridge and does not find his ex or the man, but does find two homeless men. I believe their names are Randall Brewer and Randy Piker. He asks them about his ex and the man, but they know nothing about any of that. Unsatisfied with his answer, he pulls out an axe he brought with him and chops the homeless men up and leaves their remains on this old mattress under the bridge. He also claims that right after that, he begins to continue his search and starts talking to a sex worker in the area. He lures one woman down to the same spot afterwards, got her high, and then asked her about his missing girlfriend and child. She didn't know anything about it, but he decided to beat her, rape her, and then murder her anyway. After he was finished, he went and found another woman and did the same thing. As he was disposing her body, he saw a fisherman in a nearby river looking at him. He then went and killed that man as well, beat him with a steel pipe. He took his three new victims and weighed them down with bricks to hide them in the river. The police were called about this incident, and about 2 weeks later or so, Joe was arrested for the murder of the two homeless men. He sat in jail awaiting trial for 18 months. No sufficient evidence was found, and after a week-long trial, he was released of all the charges. Once he was released from the charge of killing the two men, he talked to his old boss and got his job back at the lumberyard / pallet factory. He was even able to get a place on the property. There was this trailer on property, and he asked if he could stay there, and his boss was like, sure. He claimed there was a number of people he killed. He would seek out drug addicts and sex workers. He would bring them to his trailer under the idea of doing drugs and then kill them. Not only would he kill them, he would butcher them. He started storing pieces of meat in Tupperware containers and freeze them, burying the rest of the remains somewhere on site.
Well, yeah, he already got away with it a bunch of times, so might as well just keep on.
But you know what? He wants to push that, and let's just see how much further he can get.
More.
Over the next couple of weekends, he opened up a little open-pit beef stand. He made roast beef and pork sandwiches and burgers.
Worst pies in London.
Right? Worst pies in London. He also added his unique twist, his special meat. He would mix human meat into the roast beef and pork mix. He said, you can't even tell the difference. He sold these sandwiches and burgers to unsuspecting customers. Among the victims was Kimberly Lee Spicer. He had stabbed her to death and buried her body at the factory site about mid-November in 1996. Later that same year in December, he lured Rita Kemper to his trailer. They shared drugs, and he tried to have sex with her. When she refused, he attacked her. She ran out of the trailer, and he chased her, grabbed her, beat her, and started to drag her back to the trailer. He attempted to rape her and said, "I'm going to kill you and bury you in the woods with the other girls." She got away and escaped through a window. Mm-hmm. She immediately ran down the main road and was picked up by a truck driver, and they drove to the nearest gas station where they called the cops. There's an article that says he was at his boss's Christmas party when he got arrested, but in his confession...
Yeah, that's what I heard, too, that he got arrested at his Christmas party.
But in his actual confession, he says he didn't go anywhere. He actually gathered up Rita's clothes that he had ripped off of her, got the key to the front gate, went outside, opened the gate, and then as soon as he stepped out of the gate, the cops showed up.
I was hoping that it was the other one where it was, like, at the Christmas party, all and the cops show up, and he's like, ha-ha, I've been feeding you people.
Right. I'm out. I fucking quit.
He's like, he catered the Christmas party, right. And he just, like,
just slowly spitting the food out.
It was just awful.
You see the shot now? Person.
All just, like, spitting it out, vomiting. Yep.
So it's, like, safe to assume that he doesn't really care about this ex-girlfriend anymore.
Oh, he fucking cares about his ex-girlfriend. Oh, yes.
I was like, because it's been a long time since he's killed somebody for her.
Find her. All of this is in search of her. So, like, he's killing people, but he's always trying to find her. Like, okay. The goal is to find her and this guy, because he's found the child. He didn't literally find the child, but he knows what's happened to the child. Mm-hmm. So now it's more find her and the guy. But the police 100% expect a fight from this guy. I mean, he's huge. Remember, 6'1", 450 pounds. At birth, no. Kidding, not at birth. Looks like Boomer from Left 4 Dead, which, honestly, it hadn't come out yet, I know, but just to paint the picture. But he didn't. He actually started to just spill everything. And in doing so, it was discovered that earlier, in 1994, he murdered a woman named Kathy Ann Magazine. My thought is that this happened after his old lady and child ran off. The timeline of his murders are a bit all over the place. I literally got a headache trying to piece all of these things together because different sources would put them in different orders. And I'm like, what is the actual order of all these murders? So I did the best I could. So Kathy was a 39-year-old sex worker that he lured to his place under false pretenses and strangled her to death. He buried her body in a shallow grave in his own backyard, just like he later did with Kimberly Lynn. She was there for 2 years before he decided to dig her up, remove her head, and place it in a box, and then proceed to throw the box in the trash. No rhyme or reason, just decided to do it one day. He was finally sentenced to 50 years after Rita's case went to trial in 1997. He was convicted of kidnapping and attempted sexual assault, but not for attempted murder. Not enough evidence. Later, in 1998, he is sentenced to death for Kimberly Lynn's murder. He also pleaded guilty to Kathy Ann's murder and was sentenced to life in prison. The one death sentence he received was overturned in 2000. It became life in prison without parole. The reason? Now I have my reasons, but the judge actually came back with this one. In the original trial, it had been ruled that robbery was the reason that the murder was committed. But when it was reviewed later, the judge ruled that the evidence did not truly support that decision and adjusted the sentence. Robbery was not his motive for murder. Murder was his motive for murder, which honestly kind of surprised me, but I guess it's maybe just because it was like lack of evidence that surrounded the whole case, so then the judge couldn't legally justify legal murder because the trial was a mess. Mm. But like robbery as a motive for murder seems less concerning than murder being the motive for murder, but...
Well, they're saying, is it premeditated, or did he go in to rob him, or did he go in to murder him?
Well, they're saying that it actually was murder. Like, right. But now he's not getting the death sentence. He's getting life sentencing without parole.
Okay.
But, like, for me, for the way my brain kind of was like, well, I feel like people would more likely be like, no, put him to death because murder was the motive versus robbery. Mm. But I think that it's because when the judge reviewed the evidence, there was lack of evidence, so he couldn't justify... Even though murder was the motive, there was no evidence to justify legal murder, the death sentence. Yeah, was my guess. So during all the trial stuff, the police would pull him out of prison to try to uncover the bodies. Turns out the bodies of the two women he had buried on property, he had moved into 7 different places. Every day for 1 month, they pulled him out to help find the remains. On August 5th, 2017, Joe was found dead in his cell. He was cremated. He was never truly remorseful, and you can find his entire confession written out. It's on murderpedia.com from skcentral.com, but I thought I would leave you all with the ending of his confession. The only thing I feel bad about in any of this is I didn't get to murder the two motherfuckers I was really after, and that's my ex-old lady and the bastard she got hooked up with. Well, that's my story, horrible but true. So the next time you're riding down the road and you happen to see an open pit beef stand that you've never seen before, make sure you think about this story before you take a bite of that sandwich. Sometimes you never know who you may be eating. Ha ha. It ends with ha ha. It's literally written there. Mm. One of the videos I watched on this case was a guy reading the confession. And I linked it if you want to check it out. He just kind of reads it, you know, not much like a performance or a monologue. Not like, it's more like the Let's Not Meet podcast. You're just kind of reading the story. Mm. But he also reads ha ha at the end, and it just, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's funny. In a horrible way. That, my ladies and beans, is the horrific story of Joseph Roy Metheny, the serial killer who turned his victims into burgers. Any final sips?
Okay. Proof that I knew you were going to do this.
Oh.
I keep a running tab of, you know, just like all the random shit that I'll probably do on the show one day and just all things. And then when you guys do them and I'm like, well, I already did them. But this one says Nicole
Joe Vegan Metheny. Reads.
Vegan Reads right there. So we're going to click that one because my girl did it.
That is very funny.
Okay. But for serious, for real serious. This is just like the... Talk about a temper tantrum. Somebody didn't get their way, and so they're going to just mm-hmm. take a bunch of lives because they can't take the one they want to, but also you don't get to take another life anyway. So this, I don't know, this is just like a massive temper tantrum gone wrong, especially mm-hmm. when, like, the other podcast that I was listening to said, yeah, he didn't actually go to Vietnam, but he, like, told his mother that he went to Vietnam, but he was probably in Germany because of X, Y, and Z. And then, yeah, he got had the heroin... addiction that was pretty bad and did like a lot of lying according to his mother.
Oh yeah.
So I'm just not, I mean, take responsibility maybe and not take everything out on other people.
Yeah, there's also like going with the lying thing is that some of the people he's claimed to kill, like the number of people over 10 or whatever, they've never found anything.
Right.
Like these are the only people they've actually found. Mm-hmm. So that could also be more of an exaggeration of truth, but I don't know. He's also dead, so now we will never know.
Was there ever any talk about his wife at all?
No, he never found her.
Well, like, what if she died, like, way before? Like, that's my yeah. brain. I was just looking up to see if there was any record of like, who his wife was. If there's even any, like, she died in this at the 1980, whatever, you know, like, mm-hmm. something like that. So, or 1990, blah, blah, blah. Because it's, you know, interesting if he would have been on the chase for her, but to find out that she had died mm-hmm. already from her lifestyle, right? Mm-hmm. Or if she was in jail.
She was in jail at one point, but I think she got out, obviously, because he would have just gone there.
Right, so that's why I'm like, I wonder if she... Because I wonder if there's public record of her because she was in prison.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes me wonder if, like... There's public record of her death or whatever, and then it's like you chase these people around for so long and yet she was dead for a long time or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty much the same as Michael Myers, where it's like it really is worth, like, obsessions can happen, and obsessive compulsive stuff can totally happen and be gestated and created. So I think it's important to be aware of yourself and understand that if there's nothing important enough to kill somebody over, because then it becomes your problem. I guess I'll say that this time is like, because I usually say it every season, but like it just becomes your problem. If you kill somebody or attack somebody or hurt somebody, it then becomes,
right. Now you got to kill the fisherman. That's how you do it.
Yeah, oh. It's your problem. And now you got to go to jail for killing somebody, or you have to be aware of the fact that you killed somebody and like be, you know, have to deal with that for the rest of your life. And when I say deal, I'm not saying like, it weighs on my head and heart. There's some people that it really doesn't. I'm saying, like, this is now your hobby, is to hide yourself in your thing that you did
mm-hmm.
for the rest of your life. Or move the body
isn't
parts
that
around.
Tiring?
Like,
damn.
Yeah, that's annoying because now your life
just
is
be cool.
Now your life is all about them.
Right.
You at first didn't want anything to do with them. You were pissed about it. And now your life is all about them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good
like,
point.
So you kind of like what you resist persists, I guess, right?
Mm. Mm-hmm. My final sip is this. I'll keep it simple. anger is a valid emotion, and there are much healthier ways to deal with it than going on a murdering rampage and turning people you deem less than into burgers and sandwiches. Not okay, never okay. We've all said this. There are a lot of very successful food trucks that do not put humans in their food. Also, I am glad I'm vegan. Plus, my anxiety is too high to ever randomly eat food in an open pit beef stand on the side of the road. And I highly recommend reading Tender is the Flesh. It is fiction. Thank whoever or whatever you want to, but Jiminy Cricket, it is wild. Thank you, Jonathan, for the nightmares and for validating my vegan food choices. truthfully, though, beans, please eat whatever you want. Just be aware of what you're eating. thank you for joining us, wonderful, wonderful beans. We are so happy to be back. Join us next week for another episode here on
Morning Murders.
And the worst pies in London.
Thank you for listening to Morning Murders.
Keep checking our page for new episodes and special guests.
Want to learn more? Swing by our Instagram to check out more information from our episodes at Morning Murders. That's MourningMurders.
Also, you can always check out some mental health links and our episodes resources in our show notes.
If you enjoyed listening to our highly caffeinated conversation, please leave us a 5-star rating and tell your friends.
If you have any stories you'd like to hear discussed around the Breakfast Nook, email us at morningmurders@gmail.com.
Thank you for listening!
Hold on, it's getting a little warm. All right.
Sorry.
You're fine. The guys, there's this thing called a whisper room. Have you heard of it?
A whisper room.
A whisper.
What the fuck is that?
So a whisper room is basically...
What the fuck's a whisper room?
Well, it's basically what I've made, but better. Just a little better. It's basically what I've created here.
Oh.
It's just, you know, higher quality. But I think mine has a certain charm.
I like yours.
I love it in here. Thank you. We've got fairy lights.
We do have fairy lights. And a little table for our stuff.
And a little table.
And cute little hand fans.
Hand fans for me.
Like black clocks.
And now we've got a band again.
And coffee and water in.
Hi,
friendship.
Come back in. Friendship.
And a bendel.
And a
friendship.
Hi, little friendship.
What a perfect friendship. And other friendships have been forgotten. You are still a dog.
He's a pup.
Oh, he left. He's like, bye.
Oh.
Ben,
come back.
Ben, come back.
He done me.
I was trying to get it with the microphone so you could see that he's in
ben.
Here.
Ben. Like,
bye.
Oh, he ran away.
I'm sure it's fine, Brenna.
Brenna's calling.
Oh, it's Brenna. Hello.
Hello.
Just all of our ringtones for you.
Ben and Amanda.
Does your ringtone say I'm Brenna Amanda? Yes, it does.
It is Ben and Amanda, actually.
It's Ben and Amanda.
Don't worry about it, husband.
Hey, Ben's a dog.
He's a dog.
He's the best little dog.
He's just the goodest boy.
I knew you were going to say it. Also, why did I listen to this today?
Oh, is there something?
I listened to this. I listened to another podcast cover this today.
Well, great. I'm excited.
It is fresh in my brain.
The Lunderyard?
Lunderyard.
The Lunderyard.
The Lunderyard.
As the Lunderyard? Where you launder
things.
The Lunderyard.
Oh, yes. It's on worker.
It's on
wickerbaskets.com.
It's on
Wicker Pikachu.
Wicker Pikachu.
.com.
I choose you. Jiminy Cricket.